So you've heard some of my favourite stories. Maybe you've been surprised, maybe not. But in the manner of all final episodes, let's have a quick rundown of Wood's best bits in popularising Bach. First up, literally the number of times he programmed all the Brandenburg concertos and orchestral suites at the proms between 1895, when they were set up, and 1944, when he died. If you look at the context in which he did this, there were plenty of others promoting Bach, contemporary figures and historical too, but none on this scale and to this cross-section of society. Second was recordings. In the early days of recording technology, his was the first complete commercial recording of Brandenburg 6 in 1930. Then in 1932, number 3. They're nothing like the recordings made by contemporary conductors. Third, that edition of Brandenburg Concerto No. 3 for Boosey and Hawkes in 1944, part of a larger editorial project planned in the last years of Wood's life. Then we come to Wood's own orchestral arrangements of the Toccata in F, that famous Toccata and Fugue in D minor, and two additional orchestral suites made up of dance movements from Bach's organ and violin works. Add to that a huge catalogue of cantata and aria arrangements, and some incredibly dramatic readings of the Passions, Magnificat, motets, and Mass in B minor at festivals. And it had worked. There was one event, 12th of November 1930, which I often see as the zenith of his campaign on behalf of Bach. It was the first time he conducted all six Brandenburgs in one evening. A reviewer wrote, "There's nothing else on the programme except a couple of Bach arias. Has this ever been done before in England?" Well, that year he programmed a full cycle of Brandenburgs at the proms and premiered that groundbreaking recording of Brandenburg 6, but I think it was the tipping point. And from here on in, we see his reputation in Bach gradually unravel. The impact of his festival performances of the Passions and Mass in B minor had faded, so any potential legacy in Bach interpretation would lie in orchestral works. But by this point, there were a plethora of other conductors and directors waiting in the wings, like Adrian Bolt, Adolf Busch, Boyd Neal, Thurston Dart and Otto Klemperer, with on-point interpretations that were lighting up the lovers of Bach. And so what happened at the proms, where Wood reigned supreme? Well, it was Wood's first biographer, that wonderful, somewhat formidable author, Rosa Neumarch, who'd identified that a Bach cult with Wood at its centre had been growing since the mid-1920s. But then into the 30s, others started talking about the public going slightly mad in its devotion to Bach. Some doubted the sincerity of the promise at the Bach nights and thought that the performances no longer showed Wood at his best. Gordon Stubbs of the Manchester University Music Department said that he thought proms audiences were inclined to mass emotion and the excitement of being one of a crowd, which accounted for the spontaneous applause that greets not only Bach, but any composer from Palestrina to Moslov who happens to be played. From his high horse, he claimed to be baffled as to why so many thousands of ordinary folk attend all Bach concerts and enjoy them so much. He asked, "Are we to regard the Brandenburg concertos and dance suites that Sir Henry Wood conducts as a sort of intellectual jazz for prom audiences?" And finished up by saying, "There are profound depths to be plumbed in Bach, but I doubt whether the average prom frequenter reaches very far below the surface." Ouch! In lots of ways, the popularity of Bach reflected the times. It had long been accepted that one of the most marked physiological results of the war was the desire for movement, shown not only in the dancing craze, but in the practical affairs of life, like increasing speed of travel, sport, technology, and movement of the social classes. But two types of musical works were suggested to meet this need. For the musical, there's the vitally rhythmic music of the early classics, and for the rest, there's jazz. The appeal of Bach was thought to be in the athletic basses and vital rhythms and the continuity, energy and tunefulness of his music. But in 1931, there were so many complaints about the number of Bach broadcasts and the amount of Bach repertoire on proms programmes that a Down with Bach campaign was launched to coincide with the announcement of the proms season. Those who rebuffed it were incredulous. They asked, "Is it because Bach is unpopular that, for instance, more people attend the Wednesday Bach proms than the Saturday popular evenings?" And the increasing hold that Bach has on the concert audience was plainly shown by the fact that last year's Bach proms were the most crowded of the season. The conclusion? One might just as well curse butchers for selling beef as malign the BBC for providing Bach as staple fare. The broadcaster Alec Robertson mused, one wonders if the superior persons who look down with lofty scorn upon the untutored music lover have ever realised that it is possible to arrive at the heart of Bach through intuition and not merely through knowledge. Wood's greatest achievement was that he'd taken Bach from the status of the musician's composer, the composer respected and loved by organists, academics, and specialist or elite music societies, and, through the proms, given him to the people. Where others had tried, Wood had triumphed. But what of the finesse? Well, he was associated more and more with the proms in general. And even Wood himself said that if choosing a ticket, he'd go for a Saturday symphony concert over a prom because there was simply more time to rehearse and craft an interpretation. His relationship with the BBC became strained. He made demands, and they simply didn't have anyone else who would consider taking on the commitment of the proms. It was a workhorse and a labour of love that Wood had made his own. But with Bach firmly established in the repertoire, Wood's contribution was forgotten because it had served a particular educative purpose. The impression of his interpretations dwindled. The impact had been in what he'd done rather than how he'd done it. Because let's not forget, the Brandenburg concertos and orchestral suites that Wood championed were already in print at the inauguration of the proms, and his lively interpretations could only be assessed on the cataloguing of the Wood Archive when I started this research. His recorded legacy of orchestral Bach is limited to 9 recordings, and they didn't remain in catalogues long after his death. Boosey and Hawkes didn't complete their editorial project of his Brandenburg concertos, and the only 2 published orchestral arrangements were superseded by the works of more respected composer-arrangers like Elgar, Respighi, Stokowski and Schoenberg. In the first decade after Wood's death, Brandenburg concertos and orchestral suites continued to be regularly performed. After the 1950s, the popular Brandenburg Concerto No. 3 and Orchestral Suite No. 3 remained most consistently programmed, but the presentation of the purely orchestral repertoire became comparatively inconsistent. And to date, a complete cycle of both Brandenburg concertos and orchestral suites in a single season hasn't been heard since Wood's lifetime. Wood's role in the English Bach revival was ultimately that of the educator. And if his artistry was questioned, his motives were not. Jesse Wood told how he believed completely in his readings of Bach, and that his final word on adapting the music for performance was due to the perceived limitations of Bach's age. He said, "No flapdiddle human this, whose only means of reproducing his musical thoughts was via the instruments at his command and under conditions prevailing in the 18th century." History might well have been slow to credit Wood's contribution to the revitalisation of Bach's music, but the proms were the key to his success. He turns out to be a vital bridge in the English Bach revival story, and his meticulous attention to the interpretations of his dear John Sebastian mark him out as a true champion of Bach. If you've got to the end of the series with me, thank you for listening. But I'd also like to thank the people who've recorded voices for me. Vigi Alice, Lizzie Ibrahim, Phil Lander, Kevin B, James Arthur, Angela and Andrew Crocu, David Verscore, and my ever-patient husband, Paul French. But most of all, thanks to Les Pratt for being my voice of Henry Wood himself.